money that's coming is coming. Sorry, I have arrived. That was a good service on Sunday.
Yeah.
And all was good to us. And, The visitors enjoyed the service as well.
Praise God.
Sounds like he might be coming on Wednesday.
Mm.
Oh, that's good. So, praise God. So, how have you got on so far with what we've done on the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Any questions before we start and go further? Remember, no questions are wrong questions. All questions are good questions. I have a question then. Well, come on then, let's hear your question.
You know, the question on it says, face miracles and healings. How would you describe these gifts?
Well, we haven't done them yet.
Oh, sorry.
So, you jump in, go on. That's for today. That's all right. Nothing, but you know, we'll hopefully answer the question, help you answer the question, and then let you write your thoughts down for your own benefit. You know, helps you sort of think things through yourself. So that's really part of just that sheet, and it helps us just focus a little bit on what's being said, and maybe what the Lord's been saying to you as we go through Scripture today, and what God's doing. My question is, have you been praying and asking the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit? That's a good question, isn't it? The important thing, and that's great to hear, is actually that you're actually asking. Because what the Word of God says is that if you desire the gift, right, then God will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
So it's on its way.
Oh,
all right. So don't be disappointed. No, don't be disappointed. If you remember, maybe you weren't in on that first session when I said it actually, but you're probably listening to the audio. But I'll just say it again. You may not remember, but when I, as a teenager, in those days, long time ago, they would have a service for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there'd be a number of people, you know, there could be 20, 30 young people maybe, or older people as well, and the elders of the church would come round, pray for you and lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit. And you know, sometimes they'd be shaking you and you know, rubbing your head and, you know, come on, speak it, you know, etc. And some people did and some people didn't, and there was a number of times that I went, two if not three, that I can remember. There may have been more, and I didn't get anything.
Oh.
So don't give up.
Oh. Right.
No. And then the time when I was baptised in the Holy Spirit, that was, for me, was an absolute God appointment. It was in another church. It was at the end of a Saturday night service, which was very unusual. And I knew from the very moment that service started, I heard God say, I'm going to fill you tonight. And it was like, I couldn't wait. I just could not wait. You know, it's like, it's your turn. And I thought, right, I'm ready. And after service, we went in this back room, and there were just three of us, and they just laid hands on us, prayed for us, and I just felt the power of God come over me, and a release of tongues.
Oh, right. Nice.
Now, what I want to just encourage you is, and this is just to get you lubricated.
Wow.
Okay? This is just to lubricate your tongue and build your confidence a little bit. And that is, start praying out aloud.
I do.
Good. Because When you start doing that and start praising God, you see, you can start praising God, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit can just come over you. And it's like, you've made a start. You, the natural you, has said, I'm going to praise God. No matter what's going up, I'm going to give God praise, I'm going to give thanks, and I'm going to pray to him. And then all of a sudden, you know, Lord thinks, well, I'm going to give you some extra. I'm going to give you the oomph that you need. And there is a difference when the Lord really begins to pray, when he prays through you. But so, you know, it says in the word that
I get impatient.
You know. I know you do. I know, and this is why. But that's fine. That's okay. I do as well, believe it or not. But patience is not my greatest. We'll not go into that because otherwise I'll talk myself into a corner. So I have improved. I have improved. I do realise
I get frustrated. You see, when you won't talk to me. When you are answering
that. Well, he's listening. And sometimes, just because we don't appear to get an answer, that does not mean it's a no.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
God's big enough to be able to say no to us quite happily and easily. But we have to remember that sometimes there may be a delay on some things because God is wanting you to be prepared to get ready. There's maybe there's some bit more work to be done in me and in you, you see, before we're ready for those things to happen.
So
God does not hold back on us to harm us, but he may hold back on us so that we don't sort of get to that place where we think we can just snap our fingers and it happens, you know. It's that our reliance has to be upon him. Right. And so God's not holding out. I mean, I told you the story, or I told the story of the lady in Romania who was very, very, very shy. And she didn't get filled that night as we prayed for everybody with the Holy Spirit. Well, I'll rephrase that. Maybe she did. We don't know, but there wasn't evidence of it. But we laid hands on and prayed for her and imparted to her, right? And I don't know if it was a couple of days later, but one night she awoke in the middle of the night from a dream, and the dream was that she was drinking at a well. And when she woke up, she was speaking in a strange language, and it wasn't Romanian. And that changed her to being a very confident lady, quite a bold lady. It did a flip, because the presence of God, the boldness of the Holy Spirit came upon her, and it flipped her.
There's
hope for us all. There's hope for us all. So, you know, and the idea of what we're doing is to not to force people, because that is not what we do, and that's not what God does. But it's God will give us the desires of our hearts, and it might be initially you only get two or three words in tongues. Well, that's okay. Use them.
I think I got six syllables.
Right.
And I used those quite a while.
Yeah.
The rest came.
Yeah. Right. So there you are. So you know, there's another story. You see, what it is that. I use the analogy sometimes that we're a little bit like babies. A child doesn't get born and then suddenly just stand there and say, well, thanks ever so much, Mum, I'm off now, you know. Some of you probably would think, I wish you would go. But it doesn't happen like that, does it? There is a process of caring, training, and then when it comes to talking, some children, it's just one or two little bits of words, part of a word, isn't it? But you don't sort of say, oh, stupid child, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, you can't speak yet, do you? You continue to encourage it. And I remember there was a lady at the church that we had when we were elsewhere, and she had two boys. Now the first boy, he basically started with single words, putting words, and gradually building his vocabulary up. And he was fairly quick at it. The second one was close to, he was 3 years old, and he hadn't spoke a word. But one of the things that he didn't speak, because all he needed to do was go, and everybody else knew exactly what he wanted and went and did it, you see. So why bother? If you just go, and that's it, and you get what you want. No point, is there? You've got enough to language. And so she starts to panic and says, I think there's something wrong with him. Now, she could talk the hind leg off a donkey, this woman. You know what I mean? It didn't stop. Once she took breath, once she woke up in the morning and took breath, that was it. You know. Used to try and pass her on to somebody else just to get you, rest your eardrums a little bit. And I said to her one day, I said, listen, I said, that child is one day just going to suddenly wake up and he's going to be speaking in sentences. Well, within a month of when I'd said it, this kid started sentences. Weren't odd words, complete sentences all the way. In fact, he was just like his mother. He'd get in my car. If I were going somewhere, he'd jump in my car to come with me. Don't care where I were going, but he'd jump in the car to come with me. And once he got in,
he never shut up.
You didn't have to answer him. He just carried on. And you think, I've got two of them now, you know, basically. So, we're all different. We're all a little bit different. And so God works in different ways in us. But at the same time, you know, the Holy Spirit has come to embolden us, empower us, to give us that ability that we lack. Right? You know, we lack. Me as a teenager, and prior to being a teenager, I was very shy. Sitting here, forget it, you know. Standing in front of 1,000+ people and preaching, forget it, it's not happening that at all. But you know, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, something changed in me. Something changed. And I became emboldened, I became able to witness and share. And it was like, hey. But what happened, it was just the presence of the Holy Spirit comes in and he ministers into us and through us. And the word tells us that, you know, that God, the Holy Spirit, will give us the words to say. When we don't know, when the fanatic in the attic don't know what to say, the fella in the cellar, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to say and he gives us the words. And you know, you've seen me and you've experienced it when I've been ministering and I might say something to you and it's like, how did you know that, Andrew? Well, Andrew didn't know it, did he? Because Andrew had not met you before. But the Holy Spirit knows you. Right? And because the Holy Spirit knows you, he can whisper into my ear, my spiritual ear, and tell me about Shirley. So that then I can pray for Shirley. And Shirley's like, wow, how did you know that? Well, God was here. And he's doing things. And God is interested in you that he's actually told me so that I can minister to you. Or maybe Daniel. So those are the types of things that happens with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, right.
These are just some of the things that happen, you know, that I can share. You know, I told you about when I prayed for the two girls out in Spain. You know, there was no internet and nothing like that. And yet God showed me pictures of them. And so how does the Holy Spirit work? We might not even get onto where I want to be on the subject today. We might just go in a slightly different way, but that's okay. That's what it's all about. If the Lord leads, then we follow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I get asked questions. How do you know it's God? I mean, Sunday night, I was talking to that couple, And how do you know God's spoken to you? Ooh, big questions.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard an audible voice? Big question. Answer is, for me, yes. Wow. You mean you've heard like the voice of God? I said, yeah, I've heard an audible voice. Don't hear it every time. There are times when I just get a picture. Right? There are times when I might just get an impression with maybe two or three words. And the Lord says, step out on that. And he says, open your mouth. Scripture says, open your mouth and I will fill it. So you think, oh. And I remember one instance where the Lord gave me about four or five words. And I went, and? You know, can I have the rest? And he said, no. Open your mouth and I will fill it. In fact, it was at a children's week, and the preacher, we'd sacked him during the week because he was absolutely hopeless. And then the terminal said, will you preach tonight? And I'm like, oh dear. So I said, okay, Lord, you know, what do you want me to say? And I prayed and prayed, and then I was in my room, and the Lord just said to me, are you ready? I said, yeah, we'd about 5 minutes to go. I haven't got anything. And he gave me four lines, and I wrote these four lines down. And then it went silent. And I said, and? I said, four lines ain't going to get me very far, is it? You know, I mean, I'm not going to get 5 minutes with these four lines. And he said, open your mouth, and I'll fill it. So I went down. Started with these four lines, and I went on for 20 minutes to half an hour. It just started to flow through me. Where did it come from? It came from God the Holy Spirit, and it just flowed. That night, we had 40 odd young people in that weekend away, and by the time the evening was over, the young people gave the life. Some were giving their lives to Christ after the service. We had a pea and pie supper. And there were young people giving their lives to Christ then. We had dormitories. And we had somebody in charge of the dormitory. And there were still children giving their lives to Christ in the dormitories. It went on all night. Right? And the biggest percentage of those children that were with us gave their lives to Christ that night. Wow. And I just got four lines, right? So again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are, it's not an assumption that they are there, that's it, I've got it, and so on. Some people might act like that, but I don't. I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us, but they came from God. Then it's not a divine right in one sense, but the word does tell us when God gives us a gift, he doesn't take it back, because you can't take a gift back,
no,
you see.
No.
And some people say, well, how is it that so and so, such and such a person, the praying but sick and they're getting healed, but the life's a mess? And it's like, because God gives the gift, and it's given. But I believe for a greater measure of the presence and the power of God, it's about also our lifestyle that we live in conjunction with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the giftings that God has given us. I believe there comes a greater increase of the presence and power of God. And one of the ways you can sort of speak on that is the fact that Jesus would take himself to one side and go up the mountain. And he'd go up the mountain to spend time with God because he needed refilling. He needed to, you know, push everything to one side and spend time with his Heavenly Father. Because what we have to remember is that Jesus, although we today at times we call him the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came and was born on the earth, he was born as the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was still the Son of Man.
Yes.
And until he was crucified and died on the cross and rose again, he was still the Son of Man.
Yes.
Right? He was born of man. He was born of a virgin. By the implantation of the Holy Spirit, you see. And then when he's risen from the dead, he's risen as the Son of God. But yeah, he was the Son of Man.
It gets a little bit confusing, doesn't it?
It does, because you see...
Oh, is it me that...
No. Look.
No.
You see, these things, many of these things, let's get it right, we have to take by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not always understanding. Let's take the fact of praying for people when they're sick and they get healed. I still don't understand it.
All right. So I'm not on my own then.
let's be truthful.
If we understood it, we'd be God.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not.
You can't understand God. Our understanding is being gradually increased, but we will never get to the place where we understand God.
All right.
Because we are creatures of time, he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you pray for something and you think, I've waited, like Andrew waited 25 years for this place. That's for Andrew. But if he had, as far as God was concerned, it was his 25 years ago.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was.
And it's the same with your healing, with your restoration. Yeah. With all that God's doing, it's, as far as God's concerned, it's instant. It's only us that know, talk about time.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to these things, when it comes to our healing, we have to go back 2,000 years. And it says by his, you know, it talks about, even further in Isaiah, it says by his stripes we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus died just over 2,000 years ago on the cross, he was bruised and marred beyond all recognition. He was beaten and he was whipped 39 stripes. And so those stripes were for our healing.
Yeah.
That punishment that he took was for our redemption, both spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, however you want to put it, and the completeness. And salvation is a complete package.
Mm-hmm.
Many people look at salvation and think, come to Jesus, get saved, and that's it. No, it's a complete package.
Yeah.
Salvation covers everything. But so often people forget that and don't apply that to everything in their life, right? Even when you want a parking meter or a parking space, it applies to everything, you see. And people think I'm crazy. You can't pray for a parking space. Well, why not? I've done it. And it's happened. I've told you I prayed for parking meters to have time on them. And it's happened. You know, so, hey, God is interested in today. He's interested in what's happening to you now, right? And this is what we've got to grasp hold of. And the Holy Spirit is there to communicate God's thoughts to us, right?
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, he is coming to our hearts and into our lives to empower us to stand against the works of the devil, to stand against sickness and disease, to operate as gods on the earth for the glory of God. And as we do that and we give him all the praise and all the glory, and we don't say, just look what I did.
Yeah,
yeah, well, watch out, because that's not what God doesn't work that way. But it's about what the Lord has done through you. And you're able to say, well, I prayed for this person and they got saved. I led them to Jesus. Oh, you know, my heart was filled with joy. But you know, God did it. But he gave you the words.
Yeah.
He gave you the words. He gave you what you needed. That's something else I want to do. I want to do the Roman road. I don't know if I brought them today, but that's another thing. I want to help you have a little slip of paper that you can use, and you can use your Bible in such an easy way to share Jesus.
I've got that one, Andrew.
Good. And we can laminate these, and you can literally use one book out of the Bible, the book of Romans, and you can share the story and the gospel with them and lead somebody to Jesus.
Right.
And you don't have to be flipping through, you know.
No.
You literally go from chapter 3, 6, 5, 6 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got that now printed out. But even in my own Bible, I just turn to Romans 3 and I've got a little note at the end of that verse 23, that when I've read that, there's a little note at the verse 23 and it says, chapter 6, verse 23a. So, you know, I knew that years ago, you know, so you've got that little cheat sheet, you know, and so you flick to that, and then at the end of that verse, you then go on and you've got the next one that you link it into, chapter 5, verse 8.
Right.
You see, and nothing wrong with it.
No.
It's exactly what helps you and assists you to share the love of God and Jesus into people's lives, and it's great to have that, and it gives you that confidence. And in the end, you know, you'll have something like this, and it's like you'll use it maybe a few times, and in the end, you think, I don't need that anymore. Because you've learned then after a period of time that you become more confident, you begin to follow the Holy Spirit, and He might just lead you in a slightly different way because He's telling you what's happened in this person's life.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And it's like, wow. I mean, when Ava first came to church, to the church, and came out for prayer, I don't know what God said to her, but I do know God said something to her via me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bang on, she said. But if you were to ask me now, what did you say to her? I have
no
idea. Because you see, it wasn't for me.
No.
It was for her.
Yeah.
And you see, what happens is that if I could tell you what it was now, that would mean I would have, it was stored historically in my mind,
yeah,
in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't get to my brain. You see, the Holy Spirit resides in us.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the very centre of our lives. And when He speaks, it comes up like this. And He just comes out.
Is that when
It comes up like a warm feeling.
Amen.
Praise God, that's great, yeah. Well, like on Sunday, Grace brought a word. Afterwards, somebody said to Grace, were you talking to me? And Grace said, never met this person before, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And this person said, I'd got my eyes closed, but she says, I was sure you were talking to me. Didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And like Grace said, well, Grace had never met her before. So, who's talking?
Mm-hmm.
It's God the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
that is speaking through us.
It's got to be.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's just me that gets a little bit impatient.
Well, it's all right. Don't think wrong.
But you see, because
we're taking this time to explain, answer questions, and prepare us and study the Word at the same time on the subject, it's helping us to become freer.
That's right.
I mean, at one time, you wouldn't have this conversation.
No, I wouldn't.
No. So, you know, we in 12 months, we've come a million miles.
Yeah.
Haven't we?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
what I was.
Absolutely. So, you know, let's carry on and do another million miles.
Yeah.
Praise God. But that's what we've got to do. And that applies to every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it just takes me a little bit longer than others.
Don't put yourself down. Don't put yourself down, girl, because everything's, you know, God is timing things, and all we've got to do is go with this flow that God is moving us into. And so it's an interesting how we move forward in this. How long have we been? I don't know how far we're going to get today.
Am I helping you?
No,
this is good.
It's what's relevant to you.
Yeah. I mean, this is the reason for Bible school. I mean, it's about the ability and the availability for us to do face-to-face and asking and answering questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, one never knows.
No.
And the point, there's no point in going on blindly. You know, Andrew says, yeah, it's like the old thing, isn't it? Simon says, do this, Simon says, do that, and Simon says, no, that's not what, you know, and it's not what Andrew says, it's not what Daniel says. What is God saying?
Amen.
Yeah.
What is the Holy Spirit saying? This is what we want to know. You know, Ava sometimes comes and says, I've just had this from the Lord, what do you think? And I'll listen to it. Yeah. That sounds right to me. Yeah, go and do it. You know. So this is what we've got to realise, is that in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there is a flow of them, and they flow together.
Yeah.
They're not contradictory. They are complementary, and they are confirming and affirming each other as we move forward in God. My experiences over the years and what I've seen is that when the Spirit of God moves, it can be that somebody brings a word, and then somebody, they might bring the beginning of the word, and then somebody else might bring the middle, and then somebody else might bring the end, and it's like, wow. And yet, the person with the end bit thinks, well, what's all this about? I don't know where this fits. You with me?
Mm.
You know, it's like a piece of the jigsaw.
Yeah.
And the person that's got the middle bit thinks, oh, this don't quite, you know, fit with anything, does it? But when the person gives the first bit, and then the person that's got the middle bit thinks, oh, that floats, that fits with that. So they bring that, you know. And then then the person with the end bit thinks, wow, that and that all fit together, and I've just brought. I'm bringing
the
final.
That was the week when Ken,
yeah,
and I think it was Daniel, said about anxiety, and it didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it happens in the sense of, like, in our meetings, somebody will be leading, somebody's doing worship. I mean, any time I come to church and the songs are all put up on the stand, I don't know what it is when I get here. I'm like, oh, I mean, this last Sunday I said to him, thanks.
Yeah,
I'm just getting over a chest infection, you know, and you stick these on for me, like, you know, thanks, I said. And you're on drums as well, aren't you, you know. But you see, all that knitted together.
Yeah.
For the word.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't know what Grace is preaching. I never ask her. I never go and have a look at the laptop, look at the notes and see what she's preaching on. It's, I've enough on my own, you know, too much as it is. So, and same with Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, when that happens. And so, all we're doing is, we're learning to listen to the Holy Spirit, and actually, it's not difficult in one sense. It's not as if we sit there thinking, oh, what's God got to say to me now? It just seems to be a flow.
Well, that's an asset.
Yeah, because we're tuned into that channel. And as we're tuned into that channel, the Holy Spirit can just speak to Dave and say, I want you to bring this reading. You know, and then next thing I get up now preaching on that reading. How did you know that, David? Oh, well, I just said, I just felt it in the spirit. Yeah?
Yeah.
These things happen.
It happened with Steve, didn't it?
Same, yeah, Steve happened with Steve, you see.
Same with Steve with Mick the other week.
Yeah, all these. And, you see, There's a scripture, it's a psalm, part of the psalm that says, when the brethren dwell together in unity, their God commands the blessing, life forevermore. And when a church leadership and the church body is in unity, the Holy Spirit can just flow. It is so easy. You know, he's not dealing with animosities and bitterness and resentments. He's just flowing through the church, and the gifts are being imparted to the body of Christ. And each and every one of us has a part to play in the body of Christ. And yeah, we will try and get into them a little bit.
Is that when you say God has a plan for us all?
He has a plan for us all. I mean, I've done notes for today, right? I haven't started on the notes yet. But what I have done is said, ask the question and basically saying, what's the Lord wanting to do? What is the, you know? And it was just an impression I got that I need to ask. You see, what's happening? What are you doing? And then it begins to flow from there. And this is where we get to. And so, in all of this, we, as each and every one of us, need to be seeking God to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be able to speak in tongues. Lord, give me a tongue. And I said the other week, you know, there are tongues that are for worship. There are tongues that are for intercession. There are tongues that are for warfare. Now, when let's just stop at that point, tongues. To us, it's not a language. But then again, if you listen to Romanian or Russian, or it's just gibberish, isn't it? Right? It's just gibberish. Now, who created these languages? God. It says in the Old Testament that when man had one language, and they built the Tower of Babel in rebellion, and they were going to reach up to heaven, they were going to become like gods, you see.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if you did this in the early studies, and then God confused the language and they all separated and went into their own language groups, and off they went, you see. So, hey, how many languages are there? I mean, in the world, I think there's something like 170 some languages.
Yeah.
But my question is, how many languages are there?
Just the one.
Well, from God.
It's only the one, isn't it?
Well, God speaks, no matter what language you speak, God speaks that language. But how many more languages are there that we don't understand, that we've never heard of?
Oh, right.
It's immeasurable, because God is the one who gave the languages.
Mm.
So there could be 500, there could be 1,000. So when you speak in tongues, what are you speaking? I don't know. What language has God given us to speak? I believe there is a language for warfare. I believe there's a language for praise. There's a language for intercession. So, and I know if I'm praying in tongues and just worshipping God, it's different to when I start to move into spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And it changes.
There's one for Thanksgiving as well. Yeah. I remember a lady doing that.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there was we were in the church, I can't remember what it was, but there was a lady, she just went into tongues. She was absolutely going for it, you know. It was it was really thrilling. And then somebody gave the interpretation, and it was just about thanksgiving to God for what God had done for her in her life, and her protection, etc. And it's like, wow. But she didn't have the natural vocabulary to be able to feel, to express that emotion. So the Lord, through tongues, expressed it, and somebody else brought it into English for everybody to hear. And it's so, to understand exactly what God is doing, I really don't know. What I do know is that I've read the end of the book, we win.
Yeah,
and I've read the end of the book that, you know, there's going to be a glorious bride and a glorious church, and that the victory is ours, and that we have to walk in peace and walk in the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in doing so we'll see the kingdom of darkness come crumbling and crashing down, and we'll see the kingdom of light, the church of Jesus Christ, rising up in victory and strength and power, and we can be part of that. That's it. I keep seeing things on Facebook, you know, the Lord's coming soon, is it?
Oh, you get it quite a lot, don't
you? Yeah, but I have a question, you know.
The
looking at what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, and oh, you know, God must be coming soon. He's got to set us free from all of this. Now, it says there'll be rumours of wars and famine, etc. and so on in the Word of God. But it all, and we're looking at them, people looking at them saying, maybe this is the end, you know. Hang on. The end time is when there's a glorious bride.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming for a glorious bride.
Yeah.
And the church is a ragtag and bobtail outfit at the moment. A bride dress is a scruffy thing.
Well, I said to go to Graceland on Sunday, didn't I? Sunday morning, I was in a bit of a state. And I've been watching the news that much about Ukraine. It really got upside of me.
Yep.
And I'd gone to bed on the Saturday night and I prayed to the Lord for to fetch peace to that country to stop all the suffering that was going on. And because it wasn't working quick enough, I had to go with the Lord. And I thought, well, that's the reason why he's not talking to me. And I had confused into this because I was in a bit of a state when I came to church Sunday because I wasn't going to come. I was not going to come, but something made me come to church that Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Holy Spirit, you know. I had to tell Grace about it because it was really driving me around to it.
Do you know what was
sort of
struck me so much?
She told me that she told me. She wept and sobbed.
I did.
Yeah. And that tells me she has such a heart of intercession.
Yeah.
And those tears communicated to God within her spirit.
Yeah.
And there's a groan that we can't express.
And you know, what you were feeling
is
exactly what God feels.
Yeah.
Yeah, while he was praying through
You know, it came from heaven.
Yeah.
You know, God's looking down and looking at the state of things now. This is not what I created.
Yeah.
This is not my intention.
No.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the devil came to destroy God's creation, right? But in the end, the devil will be destroyed by his own destruction.
He will.
Yes.
But the church needs to pray.
Yeah.
It does. And the church needs to intercede.
Yeah.
The church needs to do its work. And as we pray the heart of God,
you
see, that's what we're doing. We're praying the heart of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes over us, He comes over us that enables us to pray the heart of God.
Mm-hmm. Not always words.
Because some of us, I mean, let's be honest, you know, me, if I were in charge, I'd just get all the jet fighters we've got and I'd go and bomb Moscow into oblivion.
Yeah.
Basically. And hope Putin's in there, you know.
Yeah,
but
it really got to me.
Yeah. I know what you're feeling. I understand what you're feeling. I looked at the internet this morning and sort of cried and thought, God,
I know, it's awful,
you know,
isn't it?
Why don't, you know? But he's on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the throne. I don't understand it. You know, this is where they say, you know, we don't understand everything. But we don't give up neither.
No.
We just continue. We keep pressing in. We keep going forward. Because the Holy Spirit is going to use us. You see, there are people who will be coming out of Romania, and through this they will find Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Through this they will find the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and there are people maybe even in our countries and the other countries that are taking them in, there's a softening of the hearts, and maybe through all of this they will find Christ and understand that somehow God is at work.
Yeah.
You know, and God works through people as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's
well, that's not that's why you weren't talking to me today.
No. I've had a go at God a few times, you know, and he still talks to me. None of us will get knocked God off his throne. He's seated in heavenly places, and when we speak the heart of God, when we preach, when we share the word, we're speaking many times the heart of God towards people. When we talk about salvation, you know, we've seen some of the roughest. And spent time with a lot of the roughest, you know, and most people would say, waste of time. Don't bother. Don't waste your time on them. But Jesus said, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the nobodies. These are the down and outs. These are the ones that nobody wants. And yet Jesus said, go and find them.
Yeah.
Bring them in.
I would know, but you want to sit on that, David.
We all know what is.
Well, you know, it's him as me, Louise, for salvation. That's the thing.
But God didn't give up. God did not give up. God cared, you see, he didn't give up.
No.
You see.
Imagine if
you
had
gone on Zoma's office in
here today.
But, you know, again, people say, oh, this pandemic, why has God let this happen? Well, through it.
We've been here 12 months now.
Aye, I know.
Yeah, 12 months.
And let me say this, you know, we thank God for you.
Amen.
We thank God for. I mean, I'll be honest. I didn't like Zoom. I was fed up with Zoom and that. But hey, God had a purpose and a reason for it, and you're part of it, you know. And that, to me, that is, well, praise God, what a blessing it has been. Yeah, I know you did.
Away from you. I came, didn't I?
Yeah, and the Lord.
But I promised
you, didn't you? You did. But you see, the Lord's done a work in you, and he's doing a work in us, in each and every one of us. Praise God. I'll tell you what we'll do for just a few minutes, because we're not really going to get into. I was going to teach, go on to the doing gifts, the action gifts of faith. Healing and miracles, but we'll put those to one side, and I'll use them. I will get onto them next week, I promise. But what we're going to do now is we're going to practice a little bit of what we've been talking about for the last couple, 3 weeks, whatever it happens to be, about listening to the Holy Spirit, right? Now, you've heard me say that I started in in men's meetings, small groups. We would go into a lounge and sit, and we just said, let's just wait on God and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Now, I might give you a verse of scripture to read that might just bang, do something for somebody. It might be God speaks to you to just share a few words. And like I said, I had four lines and I had 35 kids waiting for me, plus 40 kids, you know, and I had four lines. So what else is going to happen? Open your mouth and I'll fill it.
Mm-hmm.
Open your mouth and I'll fill it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit. Can remember when we were in youth meetings in the previous church we ran the youth work. I remember there was about nearly 50 young people, and we set the chairs out in a big circle, didn't we? And we just said, we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister. And we just did a simple prayer of inviting the Lord in and just being quiet and being still. No noise, no coughing, no banging of tables and anything, just nothing so that it distracts, and we just waited on God. And within 5 minutes, there was one or two young people, and the presence of the Lord just descended on them. In what way, you ask? I guess. Somebody just began to weep. Tears. Another one was, there was like they were trembling, you know, weren't self-induced. It was just a presence of God. So sometimes it can be tears, it can be trembling, it can be laughter. Any of those types of things. And the Spirit of God is moving. Oh, you can feel such a calmness of God. You know, you've experienced some of you where the power of God's come upon you and you've just gone out.
Once when your words here, I think Daniel said, we all go to the back of the church and all dance. And we prayed. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
When we were in that circle.
Yeah.
Right, so all we're going to, you know, we're going to do something similar in a sense, but as individuals, but we're together. Mm-hmm. We just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, just come speak to us. And just let's wait for a few minutes and just see what the Lord's going to say to you. The Lord might bring something into your heart, into your mind. And you know, I said to you that sometimes if you're not, what you've got to remember today, if you're not sure, you can say it, because what you've got to realise is this is a protected environment.
Mm-hmm.
You're amongst your friends, you're amongst your family, you're amongst those that love you. And the other thing is, I mentioned for those with a little bit more experience of this, is that if you're not sure, just say, Lord, I'm just going to push this away. And if it's you, Lord, bring it back.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've done it so it's three times, because I needed to be sure that I'm sure that I'm sure it's God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Andrew don't really want any vainglory.
Mm.
He needs God to be moving. Needs to be God. Not a fake. You know, I mean, I've seen people pray for people and push them down.
Mm-hmm.
You're not catching me doing that. I'm holding you up because I haven't finished yet. God, I'm finished. Then I'll let you go when I think, oh, he's finished. You get on with it, you know.
Mm.
On the operating table, you've had the full whack. And I went, I'll let you go. I don't care. But I'm not going to push you down, I'm going to be holding you up.
No.
I've something I really come against. It's got to be God or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at. So let's just pray right now. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus. And we just pray right now as we sit in your presence. Lord, just begin to move over us by your Holy Spirit. And we just say, Holy Spirit, just come. Come. Come into this place. Come into our heart. Touch our hearts. Touch our lives. Share something of the kingdom of heaven with us. Share something of Father's thoughts to us.
Yeah.
And we just wait upon you right now. We say, come Holy Spirit. Just come Holy Spirit. We just give you free passage in our hearts and in our lives. We give you the free right. Just come Lord. Pray, Father, for a filling. A filling of your people. Hallelujah. Anybody got anything they feel would like to share?
I've got my eyes closed and I've got a picture of Lord Jesus on my Bible and he's holding his hands with a little boy. I don't know what it means.
Holding his hands of a little boy.
Holding his hands of a little boy. And I don't know what it means. And I've got the picture on my Bible. His picture's there. It means of the Bible. And he's holding his hands of a little boy. But I don't know what it is.
So I got a picture of two trees. One tree was kind of withered tree, nothing, no leaves, no fruits, nothing. And this next tree, the second picture I got was a fruitful tree, loads of leaves and blossoming and, you know, just full of fruit. And on this tree, I saw a lot of children coming to this tree. And they were picking fruits from this tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like every time they were pulling out that fruit, it's like all the fruit appeared. So it's like abundance of fruit. But there were loads of children that were being attracted, drawn to this tree.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know what that picture means. He was holding the little boy with his hand, but I don't know what it means.
Well, there is a verse of scripture where there Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me.
Oh, right.
And it says, you know, you bless the children.
That could be that then.
Yeah. And, you know, God's blessing is a blessing of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, whilst I was waiting on the Lord, I saw this barren rock face way up and then all of a sudden it became a waterfall.
Oh man.
And there was this white raging torrent came over the top and I went, whoa, you know, and it came running down.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden everything started to come green. Now green is a symbol of fruitfulness in the word of God. If wherever green is mentioned, it means fruitfulness, life.
Yeah.
Right. So putting
all of that
together, God cares. He's reaching out. He's pouring out to bring a fruitfulness and an abundance. And people are talking about there's going to be shortages on the media.
Yeah.
God is a God of abundance.
Yeah.
God is a God of provision. Yeah. And maybe we're going to see some supernatural provisions through God.
When you said faith, you know, like you get that rushing of the wave, my ears kept sort of. Like a tide comes in, you see it, but my ears kept going like every so often like that. I've never done that before.
Yeah. Well, you see, God's just starting with little bits, and you know, because we're trying to.
As if that wave had stopped, then another one.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, the wave of the Spirit comes over us, the flowing of God. You know, God doesn't engulf us into destroyers, but the wave of the Spirit. And when I'm praying for people out front, sometimes I'll stand there and I'll wait and might not say anything. And so forth. Like, what's he doing? He ain't doing that. No, I'm not, because I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit. And what I'm waiting for is, and I'll be quite honest with you, this happens at times, I'm waiting till I feel that wave.
Yeah.
Of the Spirit either rising or coming over me, and when I feel it, it's like, okay, now
is the time.
Now is the time, because I can feel the surge of that power, and it's like, now I can release it.
Yeah.
And then people are ministered to.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'd have prayed prior to that, I'm not convinced that it will be as powerful, so I wait on God. And I mean, I know I see it on TV, I've seen it on TV, I've seen it in meetings that go around the alley. You know, and there's folks going on, going down, but then they get up and they're never any different. Because they've been programmed to fall down. And so, for me, and I know my old bishop, you know, he used to say, oh, Andrew, he says, you don't have to take a lot of time over these people. I said, well, that's the way I feel I'm supposed to minister. Jesus ministered, I believe Jesus ministered to the individuals. Right? And there are times, I suppose, when there are people who healed that, well, there was a woman with the issue of blood, weren't there? And Jesus didn't, he didn't touch her, she touched him. It was her faith, you see. But I believe that we have to, we are representatives, we are Jesus on this earth. And so when we pray for people, we're praying, standing in his name, standing in his footsteps.
That's right.
And we are connected to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven should be flowing through us.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what I believe.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's not just a case of, oh well, I've got the gift of healing, I know we haven't got to that point. I personally do not take these things lightly.
No.
Because I'm dealing with a life. Dealing with a life. And you know, God knows your name.
Yeah.
God knows the number of hairs upon our head. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what's going off in our life. And he knows even that you've coloured your hair. And he knows that underneath that colour there's a few grey ends.
When you told us to do that...
Yeah, prayer.
I felt like, I seen white fog, like clown fog, and I seen this person in the middle coming towards me, and I seen green, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean, Grace and I have actually been to Niagara Falls, and we've been on the Maid of the Mist, as it was called, and they take you right up as close as they dare to the falls, so you don't, before the boat gets sucked in. And you become engulfed in the spray of the falls. And it's like a mist.
Do you know what it was really?
You see? And so, does it connect with the fact of the waterfall?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, when I looked up, or appeared to look up, at this rock face that was bare, and then literally I saw this white torrent rush over the top. And I went, whoa. And then it just dropped down and sort of like engulfed me. And then as I looked again, everything around had started to become green. You see? So sometimes it's what's happened so far is these are pieces of the picture.
Yeah,
of what the Lord is saying, you know.
I
believe God is saying he's there,
mm-hmm.
He's with us,
mm-hmm.
He's holding our hand, and he's about to outpour.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And in his outpouring, there's his fruit,
mm-hmm.
that will be picked and picked. Now, is that fruit can be the people who are coming to Jesus.
That's right.
And every time we pick one, there's another one ready.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know? And you see, God wants to inspire each and every one of us to say, yeah, God told me this is going to happen, so I'm going to be part of this happening.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to be part of this happening. I'm going to be part of what God is doing. Now, can you see how the Holy Spirit is working? Boom, boom, boom. Right? Anybody else?
Yeah, mine fits as well. In my heart, starting to pound.
Well, I'm glad it's pounding. Praise God for that. That means you're alive.
In in the desert places, in the parched places, in the dry places, I'm bringing my torrent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The boulders, the ancient boulders, it seems as if they'll never move, I'm moving them.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare for fire. Prepare for fire. And then the song that I got was the Let It Rain. Let it rain.
Yeah. Praise God. And you know, it says in Scripture that the desert places shall blossom as a rose. You see.
When that was, I can remember about in the late 40s, that there was when Israel became a nation again.
Right.
That was one of the things that said, oh, the desert will blossom like the rose, and people poo-pooed it. If you go to Israel now, you'll see it. The desert plain that was once desert is blossoming like a rose.
Yeah, there's trees and fruit.
And oranges, groves, but that land at one time was a desert.
Mm-hmm.
Now our lives could be deserts.
Yeah.
Mine was a desert until Jesus came along.
Mm-hmm.
He made something of it.
Yeah.
The scripture that keeps coming back to me, and I've never really seen it before to the degree that I've seen it now, is Romans 8:29. A lot of people stop at Romans 8:28. All things work together for good, and that does. But then it goes on Romans 8:29, and it just started to. And I keep going away from it. I keep going back to it. He foreknew me.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, marvellous.
He foreknew me.
Yeah.
As you know, I shouldn't have lived. But I did. Hallelujah. But that's a good thing for you, not less than the back.
It's a blessing.
But He predestined. You planned my life. When I told that young couple, on Sunday night, we were just chatting. He said, you should write a book. But let me say to you, your life and our lives have been planned. I've only been here about 3 years, is it? If it's 3 years. But I feel as though I've been here all my life.
I think
because God has started to, and he planned it all.
Yeah.
And he's got plans for us all. All we've got to do is be available to him for those plans. And what's he trying to do? Trying to make us more like Jesus.
Amen.
So one of the things that came to me was that when people look at me, does Jesus shine out of my life? If he does, people take note that you've been with Jesus.
Yeah.
And Romans 8:29, I just live it almost every day. It comes back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the plans. God's got plans for you.
Yeah.
But you can only fulfill them as you yield to him.
Is that like when I first knew you then? Is that like when I first knew you in singing?
And
I come to you and you said, do you want to know Jesus?
Yeah, well, God's got plans. It was right for me when I was 11. You might say, well, I was so and so. But it's God's plan was that he meets you where you are at that right time.
Mm.
And he wants to meet you. Same as what we're doing now. He wants to meet us in the things that we're looking at now. He doesn't want to meet us to hold us back. He wants to meet us so that we increase. But he can only do that if we're allowing to do it.
Yeah.
He won't inflict his will and purpose on you. He won't say you're going to do this. He's not a dictator. He's not a Putin. He's a loving Heavenly Father. And this morning, my friend that knew it, he said, he's something come to him today. He says, the Lord, when Jesus came out of the waters, I'll put it on the in the internet today for you. He said, this is my beloved son.
Mm.
Mm.
In whom I'm well pleased.
Yeah.
Can he say that to about you or me? I want him to.
Yeah.
He can if we yield ourselves to him and allow his work to be fulfilled in us.
Yeah. There's an old quote, well, an old, it is old chorus that we used to sing. I have a destiny.
Yes.
I know I shall fulfill.
Fulfill.
And we have a destiny. God has things for each and for every one of us to do. You know, and what I want to encourage you is, don't miss it. Don't miss out on it.
That's right.
Don't miss out on it, because it's there for us to do. You know, don't let something that's really tiny and insignificant knock you off track.
That's right.
Because that's what the devil does. He drops something in. Oh, so and so said this. And I've heard it in church. So and so ignored me in church on Sunday. It's like, maybe they didn't realise they did that. Maybe they were busy with something else. They've got something on their mind. Maybe the Lord had set them a task to do. And you're not in that task today. You know? And so it's like, hey, don't get like that. I mean, there are people on sometimes on a Sunday, and I didn't speak to so-and-so, I didn't speak to so-and-so, I didn't speak to so-and-so, because I got nailed by somebody. But, hey, it's not that I don't love you any less.
No.
You know? And so, because in the end, it's not about you or me.
Mm.
It's about Jesus.
That's right.
And the Jesus living in us.
Mm.
And you know, as long as our relationship with him is great, everything else will just keep falling and moving forward.
Mm.
You see, you know, some of us can have an off day.
Yeah.
Some of us can come to church and we're feeling really sad because of circumstances, and we come across wrongly, shall we say. You know, I mean, hey, I know how to take someone out. And I really do. And I have a wife who has to say, Andrew, cool your jets. You know, she's there, just cool your jets, Andrew, just because, you know, I'm like, I do now, I'm getting better. But there are times when it's like, oh, I could just chop them down, you know. Let me have 5 minutes off, God, please, you know. And then I'll repent later. And I'm sure we've all said that at some stage. But the thing is, you see, it's that don't let something tiny, something that means nothing, knock you off your track and your destiny.
Because
that's what the devil wants to do.
Yeah.
Wants to find something that takes you out.
Mm.
And in the end, it's you that loses the most.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know people that have said, oh, I'm never going to speak to that person again in church. I'm like, oh, you know, well, you better not break bread on the Sunday morning.
Mm.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others, you know. Mm. Forgive us, but we've got to forgive others, that we might be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because it's a principle of the kingdom, and so we have to hold no malice.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we have to; otherwise, malice becomes a prison.
Yeah.
I mean, you know from your past experience of that situation with your sons, don't you? You know, and it held you prisoner.
Yeah, it did, but. 28 years.
Yeah. And look what's happened now. You walked out of prison and it's like, wow, is this Shirley that you knew 12 months ago? No, it's not. Different woman, different person, you see. And so, but the devil will use things like that to hold us prisoner.
That's right, yeah.
Bitterness, resentment to family members.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It is right for me, yeah.
And you've got to say, I'm not accepting it.
Yeah, that's
right. I'm not letting that dominate and control me. I'm not having that happen.
Yeah.
And so the first thing you do is you say, I forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be able to forget it initially, but you've got to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in that forgiving, there comes a release and they become comes a healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that person may never speak to you again, but that's okay. Move on.
Mm-hmm.
Move on. Do not get stopped in time. Because that's what it does. It stops you in time.
Mm-hmm.
And God can't do anything much with you until you start saying, "I'm moving on." Because God is moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to move on with Him. Right?
Yeah.
Follow me.
Yeah.
Follow me, He said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me. You see. And so we move on, and we move on in the things of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we've started even today. Just a little bit. Yeah.
He gave me Psalm 1.
Yeah.
In the message, it talks about because you have had your arrows, Finale, and all this with the scornful, because you've had a change of heart, then you're gonna be, because you love God's word, you're gonna be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living water.
That sums up everything.
In its season, every month you will bring forth fruit. It says in the message. And you'll never drop a leaf, you'll always be
blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Psalm 1, that fits, you know.
But I also felt, Shirley, that when you were saying God shows you that Jesus holding the hand of a little boy, the scripture that came to me is God wants us to call that little children. Mm-hmm. Receive from Him as a little child would, and what Daddy says. You automatically do. You believe it because Daddy said it.
Mm.
So because Father God has got your hand and He's talking to you, be just like His child and say yes, Daddy.
Is that right? It says in the Bible, when I'm little, I talk like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you start.
That's where you start. God takes you from there.
God brings us into a place of spiritual maturity. See, and this is what God's wanting to do with each and every one of us. You know, it's in Corinthians where it talks about you thought like a child, etc. But when I became a man, it says now, what it's meaning is that I'm thinking like an immature person, and then suddenly I come to spiritual maturity, and then at that point. I see God face to face.
Yeah.
You see, when we like a child, it says there's a veil between us and God, and we can and we just can't see properly. It's like, you know, a net curtain. It's like, what's that? And to see properly, we pull the net curtain back, don't we?
Mm.
And in the same way, when we come to a place of maturity, God has pulled back the curtain. And this is where God is bringing you and I to.
Yeah.
This place of seeing Him. I preached on that subject many years ago, and the thing that stood out to me was, it says, when we come to a place of maturity, we shall see Him face to face, nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball, is what I got. And I'm like, and I just had that. I have a wild imagination, and I had that imagination of being right in the face of God.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, made in His image. And so when I look at Him, I can see who I can be.
Yeah.
Because that's what He's made me to be, like Him. Oh. You know that. Bless the Lord.
All right. Thank you.